Okay, it is 7 o'clock. I'll call the Common Council meeting for April 24th to order. If you can all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weagle?
Here.
Warwick?
Here.
Romine?
Here.
Penrod?
Here.
Simpson?
Here.
Okay, in front of you are the minutes from the April 10th meeting. Looks like all members were present for that. Any changes, corrections? Before I start mine. I'm sorry. Page 5. Third paragraph, Pittsburgh with an H. That was the only thing I found.
Good.
Other changes, suggested? Okay. Then can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented with the one change.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Have a pretty good amount of ordinances tonight to review. Can I get a motion to read Ordinance 2012-3 by title only?
So moved. Second.
Dan motioned, Ben seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Ordinance 2012-3, an ordinance amending Chapter 91, Cemeteries, of Title 9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Of course, this is the ordinance we read at the last meeting in regards to cemeteries, of putting the hours between 5 a.m. and 11 p.m. Also, the ordinance puts a $25 fine per violation on the ordinance there on the law. Questions, comments, concerns about it since we read it the last time? Okay, then can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve Ordinance 2012-3 as presented.
I second it.
Okay, motion by Ben, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. 2012-3 is approved on second reading. Next up is Ordinance 2012-4 in regards to parks. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motioned by Dan, seconded by Nicole. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Ordinance 2012-4, an ordinance amending Chapter 96, Parks, of Title 9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Of course, this ordinance is actually putting a little bit of teeth to the laws we already have, and it gives that same $25 fine per violation of being in the parks after hours. I believe non-lit parks are dawn to dusk, and lit parks are the same hours as cemeteries. I believe it's 5 to 11. Any questions, comments, concerns? Then can I have a motion?
I move that we accept Ordinance 2012-4.
Second.
Motioned by Jackie, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. 2012-4 passes on second reading. Next up is a resolution in regards to transfer of funds to the rainy day. These are the CAGIT funds that were found at the state level. What this resolution does is, you being the fiscal body, appropriates those dollars to the from the general fund in which we receive them to the rainy day fund. The hope is that as we move toward paying off our City Hall bond early, that those additional dollars will go toward that, so it'll be less out of our previous rainy day total before these extra dollars came in. So that'll be $130,000 less that we'll have to take out of rainy day to pay for that bond. I mean, it'll still come out of rainy day, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
This does not represent the total amount of tax dollars. Wasn't there another part of that too?
Yes, there was two parts. There was CDOT dollars and CADGET dollars. CDOT dollars were appropriated into the CIP long-term unplanned projects by the CIP committee, if you will. I mean, it automatically goes into that fund, but it was approved by the CIP committee for that. So these are just the CADGET dollars that are coming back. Again, CADGET is County Adjusted Gross Income Tax dollars. So dollars that were already collected by the state from city individuals, and those dollars coming back to their home. Yeah. Okay. Questions, comments, concerns? Okay. So then can I have a motion to approve the resolution?
Make a motion we approve the resolution 2012-5 as presented.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions regarding what we're doing? Hearing none. I apologize. Dan motioned. Nicole seconded. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please have those funds redirected to rainy day fund.
Where does that put our rainy day fund at?
If I remember correctly, and you can, if I'm wrong, I can get you a better number, but I think that puts us at $1.2 million, somewhere around there. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that's close. So, okay. And we can get you a better number then. So, next up is ordinance number 2012-6. This is the water bond ordinance. And I'm sure there will be much more discussion about this than cemeteries and parks, since it's the first reading. But can I have a motion to read the ordinance by title only?
So moved.
Okay. Dan has motion.
Second.
Nicole has seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Mm-hmm. Ordinance 2012-6, an ordinance of the City of Columbia City authorizing the issuance of waterworks revenue bonds for the purpose of providing funds to pay the cost of certain additions, extensions, and improvements to the municipal waterworks of said city, providing for the safeguarding of the interests of the owners of said bonds, other matters connected therewith, including the issuance of notes in anticipation of bonds and repealing ordinances inconsistent therewith.
Okay. So, just to kind of go over this for a moment, if you'll have noticed in the ordinance there is an amount of $2.5 million, and the reason for that is because once an ordinance passes, obviously, it would be hard to go back and do a new ordinance for $2 million. So I had discussions with Rosie before she went on vacation, and she and I think even Buzz had kind of talked about this a little bit, and basically we set the bar at 2.5 in the ordinance. We are not expecting to get that much amount in bond. We expect right around that $2 million, but this at least provides us a little leeway if for some reason we need to ask for additional bond an additional amount on the bond. Mike, is that about right, about what I said?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you have questions about the ordinance? I know Marcia's looked through it, and there's only one grammatical thing that we need to change in there, but on the overall, I don't think you saw any problems with the bond. It's pretty typical for a bond.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I do have several questions. Mm-hmm. I guess In passing the ordinance, does that mean we're going ahead with the bond, the issuance of it? Because in that case, if we haven't approved the revenue to pay for it.
Right, right.
No, because you haven't even bid it out or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it could, you're not required to proceed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then I assume we're going to receive a lower interest rate than the 7% that it refers to. It says to not exceed. Is that just a ceiling put on it so that if it, for whatever reason...
Is there a certain page you're looking at, Ben?
Well, there are several pages referenced do not exceed 7%.
Looks like page 4 has that. Shall bear interest at a rate not to exceed 7% per annum.
I think that's just a ceiling. I mean, obviously we have bond counsel create this in working with Buzz Crone on these things. So I'm speaking from a local level, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that is simply a ceiling that we will not exceed, and you're right. I mean, the rate would be negotiated, and I'm sure we'd try to get it as absolutely low as we can get it.
I just was thinking bond rates would be a lot lower than that.
Well, I think that's probably just fairly common to put that in as a cap.
Okay.
This just sets the guidelines for the process to begin.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it says right after that the exact rate to be determined through negotiation.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and if I understand correctly, basically we, in order for us to move forward in negotiations on a certain rating, the actual percentage of rate increase that we're going to end up having, they asked us to have the bond ordinance secured, if you will.
Right. We have to do all this. I mean, as you could see back in with the form things, I mean, there's some blank lines in mm-hmm. some areas. I mean, that's because we have to, the process is we have to go through this first, and then we move forward with the bids and so forth and so on before we even determine what we're looking at.
I just don't want to put us in a situation where we're forced to do something because we've done all this.
I guess that begs the question, why would we do this at all until we know what our revenue is?
Well, we're not entering the actual bond. This ordinance gives us the ability to enter into that bond. So this ordinance isn't saying that, you know, tomorrow we're going to start on the bond. We can, if I'm understanding correctly, Marcia, we can basically wait until we get the final approval, if you will, or the negotiated settlement between Crone and the OUCC, that percentage
right.
back for us to approve before we even move forward in the bond.
Right.
So we'll know our revenue. We'll know what percentage that is, or we'll know our revenues before we enter into the actual bond.
This just allows for a bond.
Exactly. It allows for a bond and sets kind of those parameters. And in that way, what that basically does, if following that train of thought, is that if gives the assurance to the OUCC that we actually are going to go into a bond situation, and that sets that ceiling of that 2.5. It sets the ceiling at 7%.
So are we locked into these projects that are in here? Or because there had been some discussion in one of the hearings last fall about the building. You thought you could get it done for less than 4?
Yeah, I don't believe we're locked into any of the actual projects on the list. I mean, obviously the projects are the ones that the water department feels like they should do and can do with the amount of money. And you'll notice that the subtotal of that is 1.89. So it's not even that 2 million ceiling. We still have legal and we still have things that fall into that extra dollar amount. But no, there's opportunities to change and maneuver and yeah. So the ordinance doesn't even reflect the actual project list at all. That was just included on there as an informational purpose.
I think it says refer to Exhibit A, and then that's attached behind Exhibit A.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I apologize for that. Right? But I don't think we're by no means locked in, because I think even in the last water bond that we had, there was projects that you guys kicked out, right?
Yeah.
That you decided not to do.
Yeah, it can be moved or switched to wherever you need to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, just to be clear, mm-hmm. if we pass this, mm-hmm. all that does is gives us permission to do a bond. That doesn't necessarily mean we'll then vote when we do the bond. Again.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely vote before we go into another. Yeah. Before we actually
enter into
do a bond. Yes, that's okay. Correct. That's correct.
We'll have the definite numbers and everything in place at that time. Then we can make a decision on which way to go.
Should know projected revenue and all of those pieces. Right. Mm-hmm. We'll probably, I would assume we'd probably have Crone come in or at least have mock-ups by them to show what our revenue would be and how we can cover that bond. Additional questions? Bill?
I guess I'm still not, I still have issue with why we would do this at all yet. I mean, why the timing now for this before we would know where we're looking at revenue? Why would we even consider doing a bond before we know what our revenue is? That's my first concern. And secondly, I'm still kind of concerned why we're doing additional bonds when we still have a significant amount in bonds out there for this, you know, for similar projects. And I'm sure that when those ordinances were passed, the reading was, I'm going to guess, fairly similar to this, where it said we had the finances to cover it, and in fact we didn't because we're doing a rate increase.
Yeah, I believe to at least address some of those concerns, I think as a part of that in past, at the last time that there was a rate increase, as I know you well know, in the rate that was agreed upon, there was projected growth in the system. And I believe, if I remember hearing Buzz correctly, it's a flat. It's flat, meaning there's no growth anticipated in the actual rate. Meaning that, you know, if everything stays flat, you know, assuming the economy turns around and we grow, then we would actually have additional income than what this percentage rate increase would have. Now, the other question as a part of that, the only way I can answer in regards to why we would do this before doing that is to just say that that's, if I understand correctly, that's the process. That's
yes, and I think that I know you've had more discussion with Buzz on this than I have, absolutely, but I believe that he needs this in place before he can go to the OUC
and negotiate.
To show that we are moving forward in the event that we need to, that we have, we're ready to get these bonds for him to use as that supplemental financing for negotiations with the OUCC. So, you know, it's a process that we have, obviously, we hired other people, we have others doing for us, but that's the process that we need to follow to get it done.
I guess to add on to that, Walt, you were here during the last bond, when we did the last water bond. Is this something that's typical? I mean, Mike, you can also chime in.
The process is typical, and I again, great conversation both directions. But what tipped the scale was you're getting all your ducks in a row up to the point, again, giving Buzz the authority to move forward to negotiate for a lower interest rate. And he's doing all this stuff behind the scenes as it's going forward. But then your questions are very valid. If you don't think it's the right thing to do when it comes back to present to you, you still have that option. Thanks, Buzz, but we're not going to move forward because I don't like the interest rate or I don't think we can do it. Your question about how did we get in the position we got in is back identical to the flat rate. Back when that was started in the previous bond, that bond was forecasted to support the cost of doing business at that rate. Unfortunately, the economy went south. Water usage went down instead of up. And so, yes, there's things that have to play into this factor all the time. And those are the things that you are always challenged with, looking in that crystal ball. And some things, when you make the decision based upon what you know today, that was the right decision. But things changed 24 months later that impacted the decision you made 24 months ago. And that's how sometimes you come up with a shortfall. But if the economy turns around, you come with a windfall. So it's always a gamble. There's always a risk in some of the things that we have to look at. So the decisions you're making today are definitely for the future. It's not for tomorrow.
So do you know if they've run any scenarios because we have a history when rates go up, usage goes down. Are they running those scenarios as well? Because, you know, the problem we have now is we can't meet our debt obligations now. So we're going to take on more debt to meet our current debt obligations, and it's kind of the cycle that the federal government's in. We keep borrowing money to keep paying what we can't pay.
Yeah. The best I can tell you is from what I remember from the meeting we had. I think it was last year before we even took office, if I remember correctly, presentation by Buzz and so on and so forth. But and probably Nicole and Dan, you guys can probably chime in here. But if I remember correctly, I mean, they were pretty confident that flat was, you know, take it for what it's worth, but they were pretty confident that flat would be appropriate in the current situation. I do believe that there was some kind of understanding that typically does happen, that there is a dip in usage. But I mean, that's probably the best I can say. I don't know if you guys want to chime in about anything that Buzz presented the last time.
I don't really recall anybody doing a study on the dip in usage. Quite honestly, I don't recall that. But basically, it's, you know, we're caught in a situation right now, you know, that nobody could foresee, you know, back 5 years ago. So we also are responsible for maintaining a system that people expect water, clean water, to drink on a daily basis without breakdowns. And to say that we're adding more debt, yeah, yes, probably true to what you're saying.
Well, I don't necessarily have an issue with that. It's can we pay for it going forward, because we're having problems paying for the debt we have now.
Well, that's what I was told that this is supposed to take care of.
That's Mike, do you want to
take care of? Yeah, I mean, this rate increase being proposed should handle the previous debt load, bring it back up, plus the future bond issue. I mean, it's a trend that water consumption is down all across the country. You know, it's just the way it's gone now because of basically, you know, all the sewer jobs and everything has to take place. The water consumption is down, but the cost to produce the water and to maintain the systems is still going up. So it's just a matter of trying to break even and, you know, playing the game back and forth. Every 3 to 5 years, you have to adjust your rates. You know, and if you got a good 5-year span, then you're not going to have to adjust it as much. It just depends on that 5-year cycle, but it's just something that's going to come every 3 to 5 years because.
And it's been 6 years, is that right?
What was that?
Has it been 6 years since we raised before?
Seven. It was 07. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously in the news, you've heard of Fort Wayne doing it, Indian American Water, actually. It's going to put. You know, don't quote me on this in the paper, but I'm pretty sure it's going to put Wabash and Warsaw ahead of us when it comes to actual rates. And of course, they're, you know, bigger populations than we are. So, I would agree with Mike that it is a trend, especially around here that's happening, but I know nationally it is too.
I was just going to share with you, Ben, Buzz Crone has been with the city for several years, and he really knows our utility business inside and out. And he will come back with more data for you in the near future and help support those concerns that you're asking today. But those guys are the specialties. They're the pros that we build our trust in to guide us. And so I'm just sharing with you, there's a lot of things from the utility side and all that process we need to build and trust that relationship that we have that comfort level.
It's difficult to understand, you know, how this whole process has to legally run through. Like I say, with this ordinance is just to give some guidance and control. We haven't agreed to any rates or anything yet. This just puts the, like we said earlier.
You'll have a say in both the percentage as well as the bond. Yep.
So that I'm clear on understanding this, they're going to use the fact that we want $2 million in bonds to negotiate the rate. Am I understanding that correctly?
Basically, yes. I mean, that the OUCC is going to take that information and say yes, they want to move forward, and they've done that. They've proven that by their ordinance.
They want to see we have a plan. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And in a nutshell, this is the plan.
That's yes. That is the plan. Yes. So. Okay. Well, are there any further questions or discussion? Okay. We've read the ordinance, and now I am looking for a motion to pass on the first reading.
I move that we approve the ordinance number 2012-6 on first reading.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you. Next up is an EDC presentation by Alan. And I think the microphone's on, although that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means the microphone's on.
Well, thank you very much for giving me time this evening. I had asked Daniel for time to reintroduce EDC. I want to make sure we spend as much time as we need to talk about EDC and our activity on behalf of the city. But I do have a very specific reason for doing this evening, just talking about our municipal budget, which is, of course, supported in large part by the city, Portland, and how that ties into our activity we have underway this week. So I have some handouts. I've included a presentation packet I'd like to walk through, if I could. And if you need to stop along the way for any questions or clarifications, a good level of background about our activities. Before I do so, I have backup singers. If I could introduce Dick Buchanan, who's our Columbus City representative of the EDC Board of Directors, the 9-member Board of Directors, and Jeff Johnson, president and owner of Numerics, a very fast-growing machine shop, diverse machine shop here in Columbus City. So, great to join. Okay, let's start with a making a little plan. So some of you heard at our annual event a month or so ago, our theme for 2012 is our 20th anniversary of the organization. We are a nonprofit created in 1992 by the city, by the towns of Cherubusco, Laurel, and South Lily, and by the county to have a unified approach to economic development. So we are a single point of contact for economic development. We're proud to be celebrating 20 years already. Some counties in this region have only had EDCs for 4 or 5 years, so the investment that was made a long time ago speaks to our willingness to work and grow business and support it. On the first page, I'm giving you a preview. We are actually going through a strategic planning process right now, working with the Community Research Institute at IPSW. And what I have listed here is our proposed vision and mission. We're looking to update these to make sure they reflect our role working throughout the county, all four corners of the county, companies, entrepreneurs, business owners, all size of the companies, all stages of development. You know, our vision is to be the focal point for planning, building, and equipping businesses, and even sustaining businesses here in Willie County. And it's a very, comprehensive vision, but we think we can get there. It's attainable. We want to be seen as that organization to go to for business in Willie County, and that's our place. Our mission, of course, is to create a comprehensive program that both retains and expands employment opportunities for local residents and attracts investment to Willie County. So the twin goals of attracting investment, tax base to the community, but also helping to retain and attract employment to the community. Years ago, you know, economic development you think of is smokestack chasing, trying to attract a new factory to town, convince a large Fortune 500 company to build a factory and save us all from, chart a course, chart a future for us. You know, really, our approach is more growing our own companies and seeing locally owned, locally grown businesses that want to be here, that have a reason to be in Northeast Indiana, and when they get to that point, can choose to be in Willie County as opposed to anywhere else. So I think we're well positioned, and this is the right mission and vision to set us or continue us on the course. On the next slide, I mentioned we have a comprehensive program. I'm very proud that we have a team of individuals who are all willing to support our efforts. I will say without a doubt we have the most comprehensive, skilled team at our office of any EDC in Northeast Indiana. The traditional model is to have a director and an assistant, and you sit by the phone and wait for that big company call. You know, we're saying we need to be responsive to the needs of both companies like Numerics, and that requires having people who are skilled in working with entrepreneurs and businesses, people who can work with community development projects, with marketing communications, make sure we're the right team in place. Now, you look at the list and say, wow, that's a lot of people. What I would want to point out, and I have illustrated here, I'm the only full-time person. So the rest of the people could all be doing much more important things. But these are all folks that have chosen to work with me at DDC on a part-time basis or a contract basis, 10 to 20 hours a week. And so it's important that we have people that are willing to give this kind of time and that we have the access to these people because they're able to bring capabilities that otherwise we wouldn't have, to be honest. And by the way, one thing I always like to point out when I can, none of these people are from Northeast Indiana, so they all choose to be here. I mean, we've got folks from Ohio, Michigan, Florida, Wisconsin, Idaho, and guess who's from Idaho? We have a team of people who have all chosen to be in this region, and I think it's very special to have that kind of set of people in place. On our next slide, we need a sense of how this all fits together. What does an EDC do? What is our role? We're a connector. We help to connect business owners like Jeff, plant managers, and others to resources, either locally or regional level, state level, federal level. I mean, all these organizations are listed on this chart have a role to play, but ultimately, we're the filter that helps to connect them, the businesses, to these resources. And ultimately, our investors, our stakeholders, are you all, council, mayor, department heads, working to support maintaining and expanding business in this community. So it's no small challenge to try to keep this together. I actually have one of the handouts I added today was a list of companies that have worked with so far this year. This isn't a full list, unfortunately. Companies that have worked with so far this year, and some of the resource partners we've connected people with already this year. This is only the first 3.5-4 months of 2012. We're already connecting together people to leverage what's happening at the regional level, state level, federal level, and help our companies be successful. So it's a labor of love. Try and keep that all together. But this explains to some extent how the pieces fit together and how no matter what we have as far as the regional partnership or the state IDC or other regional or state activities, we really have somebody that's one point of contact in the community to help make sense of it all, to help explain it and help people access it. So that's our role. Briefly about our EDC responsibilities, if I could. I mentioned before, business attraction is the standby that people say the job is whether or not you can bring your business to town. We've been successful in that regard. I mean, you see, I've got listed companies we've recruited to Whitley County just in the last 2 years. Coming out of a very bad recession and saw not only our unemployment rate go from 4.7% when I started to a high of probably 11 or 12% in Whitley County. But we are seeing new opportunities. We're seeing new growth-oriented companies replacing some of those that have left and adding new industries to our community, to our industry base. Again, finding opportunities for all those folks that did lose their jobs or did have to transition to a new location. So very pleased how that's come together. And something important about that is that you're talking about Ford Metals, for example, locating in the old Ford and Foundry building. We've seen a lot of these companies reusing old facilities. So we don't have, an inventory of abandoned, vacant buildings, even the former CF Goldman building on Alford Street. We see with new life. So very pleased at how we've been able to connect together these businesses. Many of them regional businesses. Scott Glaze at Ford Metals, someone who I worked with for the better part of 2 years before we finally put together a project. Jerry Bushy owner of PDQ Work Holding and now Impact CNC. Again, a local entrepreneur wants to be involved in the Wood County business community. You know, these take time, but we've been very fortunate to be able to put together the right opportunities for these folks. And the reputation we have of working together, city and county, being a very friendly place to do business, that helps create the impression that they get these people as they give us a look. You see retention expansion listed as well. You know, there's some folks out there that will say that these jobs don't count because if 80-20 is expanded, they would do it anyway. But, you know, again, we're asking them to wait for years and years to finally pull the trigger. You know, added 90,000 square feet last year. Convincing CNA Tool to continue to add. They're up over 500 employees in Cherubusco, a town of 1,000 people. Ultra USSI, you know, talking with them about purchasing the Autoleaf building, a company that could have just kept on leasing the building they had there, now owns a 250,000 square foot building in our community. That means something, and it takes time, and I think it's significant that we're able to put that together because of the team we have in place. Industrial park development, something we've gotten into over the years, helping make sure we have the right inventory of sites and buildings to support our development, whether that's working to establish a Rail Connect business park, which works very closely with the city of Arrowhead on that, working to refine Park 30, adding smaller lots, encouraging development, working with the town of South Whitley on Industrial Park. We still haven't figured out how to get an industrial park in Cherubusco, and certainly we want to work with the city at some level on that in the years ahead. Again, working throughout all corners of the county to make sure we have not only the ability to work with these companies, but also to make sure we have the right sites and buildings to encourage new development. And then on the next page, you know, helping to find the pump, if you will. Our activities working with Donovan like Jeff through the SBEI program, the Small Business Entrepreneurship Program. We're the only EDC in the region that hosts a small business program, so to make sure we have, you know, resources for growing companies. You know, by and large, a startup company isn't going to need a tax abatement, or they're not going to need a workforce training grant. They're going to need a little bit different kind of assistance if it's just someone to talk to you about business planning or someone to talk to you about how to do financials. So we have a program in place, so a front door for those individuals. I'd say it's very unique, and I want to make sure it's going to continue and sustain. And the results are there in terms of working with startup and small business clients, hosting workshops for business planning courses, and seeing referrals then to state resources. There's a new state program called Elevate Ventures. We have 8 of the probably 24 companies working with Elevate Ventures right now in all of Northeast Indiana. So we're able to create a pipeline to a state program and see, again, better resources, better connections for our companies. We also are working with community development and our business networking, you know, helping create the quality of place and the sort of camaraderie at the professional level to make sure that we have, let's say, the community infrastructure to support business and make it attractive to the business here. So I'm very pleased that one of my team members is now president of the Downtown Business Owner Association. That we're working on Indiana Main Street projects in Cherubusco and in Columbia City, with the networking and outreach. We sponsor an HR network. We sponsor an IT director's network. We do CEO roundtables. And the list goes on. To make sure we have things in place, whatever the need is, whatever stage of company or business owner is at. The next page, to help explain this to business owners, we created the EDC toolbox. I don't want business owners to worry about knowing how to access the CBAG program from OCRA, which is funded by HUD, CDBG dollars. I want them to know that if they have a question about how to get a grant to encourage for equipment purchase, encouraged operation, we can help with that. I don't want them to worry about knowing how the SAF grant program pays 50% of wages for people, for trainers to do, incumbent training. Just tell me there's a training issue and we'll help identify those resources. So a lot of what we do is bring back dollars from other state, federal, and other agencies or programs to make sure companies can leverage those to maximize what they can do. Example I gave yesterday, if someone can get a $100,000 tax credit for job creation, it may help them add 2 or 3 more people than they would otherwise. So it's creating jobs, for, you know, locally based workers. So our goal is to help, you know, with the toolbox here. Ultimately, you know, build, plan, equip, plan businesses, you know, and sustain businesses. And I think we're focusing in the right direction. It's just making sure we have the resources in place to support us in the long term. And so I want to flip to, I guess first let me ask, what questions are there about our activities or responsibilities in the city? Good job. I want to talk about our funding situation for 2012. We're funded, our operating budget is funded entirely by county economic development income tax dollars. Getting in the weeds here, the CEDIT is an income tax on residents of Whittle County. It's 0.233% income tax, separate from the cash that we talked about earlier. But it is levied on residents working with the county, and is collected by the county. And when it was established in 1994, it was set up in a way that the funds are collected by the county and distributed to the towns and the city by population. So the point I want to make there is, if you only have 10% of in the workforce and people working in Columbia City, you're still getting 23% of the CEDA dollars because it's based on residency. Does that make sense?
Okay. Alan, where do we stand compared to other counties in regards to the local, the CEDA percentage? Are we low, high? Yeah, are we low, high? I mean, I think we're one of the lower ones, aren't we?
I believe we have the lowest rate in all of Louisiana. The average, last time I checked, it's been a few years, was about 0.4%. So the rate is low. Again, we're trying to keep taxes low, make the community attractive for business. It is what it is. We have the lowest rate.
And the reason I bring that up is because you may have seen the different amounts that are going to the different counties from Cadjet and from CEDIT and those kind of things, and you've noticed that we got less than any other county in Northeast Indiana. The reason for that, the primary reason for that, is because we
said that was
pretty low income tax rate compared to some of the other counties. So, so it's good to live in Whitley County in that way. So, yeah.
I mean, by comparison, Wabash County income tax rates there are 2.6%. So our combined income tax rate is 1.233. Theirs is 2.6. It's going to show up they have a lot more money coming back from the state.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, just wanted to make sure that was clear to the council. Thank you.
I guess the final point, you know, we have essentially agreements in place with the city, the county, and towns to fund EDC based on that percentage of the population. So. And the county is 64.1% of population. County sets aside that percentage of that amount of their CEDA to fund EDC. Not that percentage of their CEDA, but that amount of our total budget. And so on the next page, you know, as part of our strategic planning process, you know, we've identified four goals. And these are important to focus on. Our goals are sustainability, leadership, innovation, and connectedness. The focus has to be sustainability. We've got a good platform programs as far as the small business, the community development, the infrastructure, everything we're doing. It's how do we continue to make sure it's sustainable and that we're leading in the region. And the other communities continue to try to catch up with us and what we're trying to do. And we're there, but we need funding in place to make sure that that stays that way. We did make a request for an increase in our overall CEDA funding to continue our small business entrepreneurship program, to continue our marketing communications, to put together our annual meeting, for instance, or putting together our materials we distribute, our website, everything, and then continue our community development initiatives, which can impact, of course, from the city with our involvement with the Downtown Business Association. I mentioned Chair Busco, working with them on Indiana Main Street, working with the town. Beginning to work a bit with South Woodlands and downtown work. We requested additional $25,500. Of course, that would be distributed among our funders, the city, the county, and towns, by population. So what it means for the city would be an annual increase of under $6,000 for calendar year 2012. And I want to make sure I mention it's the first time we've asked for any increase of any size since 2007. And that was, there's a little bit up and down that year where they asked for a bit more of an increase and then scaled back once we had transition of leadership. But we've tried to do it, I mean, for quite a long time. And there's other communities in the region that have stepped up what they've done. And as we continue to try to build our programming, felt this is going to get us to a new plateau and we'll continue these programs forward in the years ahead. We want to make sure to bring the point home to talk about one of our specific initiatives, our Small Business and Entrepreneurship Initiative. So, you know, what is this additional funding for? It's to help sustain our existing programming. And one of the important things we put together, I mentioned, is we are the only county in all of West Indiana that has an EDC-sponsored small business program. We put that program together in 2009. We had initial funding from OCRA, the Office of Community and Rural Affairs, from North Indiana Fund, and the Whitley County Community Foundation. That's $125,000. Since that time, we've added funding from the Talent Initiative to the tune of about $75,000, USDA Rural Development, another $75,000. And Community Foundation of $10,000. Less than 10% of all the money we've used to fund that program to date has been from any kind of seed-based sources. We have one specific project we worked on last year that required additional appropriations, which the council approved for the project. Going forward, though, you know, we need to be able to create a base of funding to support the program, and that's what's, you know, really included in the increase for this year. And that allows us then to go out and try to find, you know, additional on-site sources. We plan to apply for more federal money. We'll try to develop new programs to attract additional foundation dollars. What does it all mean? It helps us work with, say, small businesses, growing businesses like Numerics. Now, on the next page, we've got a case study from our website. You know, what that program means, again, it's not a tax abatement, it's not a training grant. It's technical assistance or business coaching. Having skills of business coaches or mentors who can work with entrepreneurs and help them, you know, put together and find the business plans. And I'm very pleased this month that Numerics was selected as only one of 18 companies, two from Northeast Indiana, recognized as for their stellar leadership among small businesses in the state. And so I've got a copy of the news release there. It's the Indiana Edge Award, the Economic Development for Growing for Growth and Entrepreneurship Award. Again, only two companies in Northeast Indiana, one in New Haven, and Numerics here in Columbia City, received that award. And I would say we do much hard work by Jeff, but a little bit of effort from our team helping us for his work. So, Jeff, anything you want to add? Or?
Yeah, man.
I kind of made a few notes here just spur of the moment. A little bit of history on Numerics. In 2002, we started in a two-car garage out of my parents' farm. We started just CNC machining and general manufacturing, anything we could find. By 2007, we had grown quite a bit, but we were in town, and I really had no clue on how to run a business at all. We were literally to the point where my accountant was ready to come tell us, stop. You have dug a hole that you will never get out of. It was that close. Somehow we hung in there. By 2009, I had met Alan, and up until that point of time, had zero luck with economic development. As a matter of fact, when we first started, I had talked with the person in charge of the economic development, and I was told, if we do nothing for small business, we can't help you. And that was the end. Alan came in, and I told him that story. From that day on, he was a big leader. Never dropped the ball. They started this, at that time, it was Accelerating Innovation, and it became the SBEI program, where they brought us in. We were kind of the guinea pig. They stuck us with the right group of people, Scott Gospel, which is Small Business Development, Fort Wayne, and Sharon Salad, and then Bruce Stack, and brought in the training that we needed as a small business to get to that next level. Through that program, we were able to learn how to understand our financials better, how to actually structure our business where it was organized. We learned networking, who to rub elbows with, how to do it, also goal setting. And consistently, I'd say we hit 85 to 90% of our goals. Since all this began, We've had three record years in a row. We're starting a fourth record year. This year alone, first quarter in comparison to the first quarter last year, our revenue is up by one-third. It's a major increase, and our profits are far greater. Material cost is down, and this is all due to what we've learned through this program. As Alan mentioned, we won the Edge Award, which was more or less the Northeast Indiana Small Business of the Year. We were awarded that a couple weeks ago down at the Indiana State House by Becky Skillman. We have also acquired a new machine. It's our first brand new machine. We specifically bought it for the medical industry. In 3 weeks, we will be going through our Stage 2 ISO audit. We will be ISO 13485 for the medical industry. We are also discussing growth in Whitley County, possibly starting a defense division, bringing in a partner who is a service-disabled vet. All this stuff we've learned, and Alan has had a major hand in. I think Whitley County as a whole is in a perfect location, being between the orthopedic capital of the world and being right next to a huge technology sector in Fort Wayne. And every place I go, Alan Teo has spoke very highly of. I think our economic development needs to be funded. It needs to continue to work with small business. There's just a lot of great things going on here.
Thank you. I mean, that really gets to the heart of the matter. It's, you know, we're celebrating our 20th year. You know, we did put in a request for additional funding to continue to be able to work with our partners and small business owners like that. We do need to ask the council to look at our request, which is, I say, additional $6,000, a little bit below that, for the year. I've got support from the other communities in the county. Just want to keep make sure we reach out, reach through CDC, and hopefully they'll join us here and hear this going forward.
Looks like it's about an 8.9% increase, roughly.
Give or take a couple. That's okay.
Just for the record, 7 of the 12 companies you worked with last year were within the city limits. And one of them was in the Gateway Park.
So, Alan, are you, I know that that the spring 2012 seated installment, if you will, last year's budget was for, was without the increase. And so Rosie had went ahead and paid the $30,000 that was budgeted, if you will, from the council. And I know, you know, looks like, you know, there's a difference there of $2,846.25. So are you, let me ask this then, are you here to advocate for the increase next year, or are you looking for maybe to pick up the additional $2,000 in additional appropriations from this council?
I'd like to ask the council to look at this year, funding the increase. The other communities in the county have agreed to do so. And I think sake of equity, of support for our efforts, we're a countywide agency, entity. There's only one EDC in Willie County, and we want to see everybody have the same type of chair at that table.
So we've paid $30,000. The invoice is for $32,800. You want to make the invoice actually $35,000, whatever, or you're asking?
There's two installments.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's, yeah, we're talking two separate issues. The $6,000, if you will, or the $5,000, whatever, $5,877.75 is for next year's appropriation. Correct.
This year.
It's for this year's appropriation. So this is so that $2,846.25 is half of that amount.
Right.
So okay. So what that means is in the next budget. Well, no, for this budget. Yeah, that's right. Because we're working off of this year's budget. So so what it looks like is you're asking for that additional $6,000 appropriation. Or well, fiscal body, what is your opinions, thoughts, questions you have of Alan?
Well, for the sake, I'll say this first. For the sake of full disclosure, I've been involved in the small business program since its inception, so I'm a big proponent of it. It's created, I don't know, 75 jobs in 3 years. The city's put $1,500 into it and has gotten a lot more return than that. It's, you know, we did a study on it in the initial program year 2009-2010. The cost per job was less than an abatement cost the city. And if I understood it correctly, if they go through this program, they're not eligible for an abatement in the initial year. We've had that discussion where if we did one, we weren't doing, they wouldn't be eligible for, you know.
Well, I don't know. Again, I don't know the companies we're working with and this program really are going to be interested in abatement. I mean, you got to have a significant equipment purchase
right
to justify an abatement. And so this is, you know, our community saying, you know, we're going to have something else to offer as far as business advice and mentoring.
Is there a reason that last year during the budget process that the council didn't approve the 58-77-75 increase?
If Rosie had briefed me a little bit on that, and basically the issues that I believe at that point were prevalent, and Wald, obviously your discussion, and Nicole and Dan, you guys were a part of the discussion, was that that council felt that it was unfair, if you will, that the that our departments had not received an increase, but that they'd be giving an increase to the Economic Development Corporation. I think that was an issue. And then was there any other? You said you had buy-in from the other communities that they've basically upped the ante. Okay.
So the issue that existed. The reason the last council didn't approve this, that reason still exists. That, I mean, our departments are still functioning without an increase, right?
Am I
understanding that right?
Yeah, they didn't get an increase when I took office, if that's what you're asking.
Well, I mean, yeah, there hadn't been any.
Yeah, right.
Why not?
Because the budget was already set, and that's why.
An overall increase, or... Because there was that pay increase, which would have increased all of their budgets.
Right, but the actual, the what?
The operating cost.
Yeah, of each of the
for each of the
departments.
And staying equal with all the departments, we would have the EDC. It was no different than any of our departments, basically, as far as funding. So we didn't increase any departments, we weren't able to increase the EDC funding as well at that point.
In fact, I think there was a deduction that was asked by all the departments to deduct instead of be flat, if I remember correctly, because it was trying to, again, at the time the economy was tough. The economy is always tough, but I'm going to say at the time that was the decision to support your question. Everybody was tight with their belt at that time frame.
This is a question for Marcia. In the actual EDC agreement, it allows for a budget increase of 3% per annum, but it doesn't say whether that accumulates or if that's based on the prior base year. So if there hasn't been an increase for 4 years, what would be the maximum amount of allowed increase without city approval? That's in Section 5.
Can you ask the second part of your question there?
The way it reads, you're allowed a 3% increase per annum without approval.
Oh, okay.
If there is no increase, does that accumulate, or is that just based on the last time the dollar amount was set?
Well, I guess that's up to interpretation, but I would think that it wouldn't accumulate just based upon, because to me, if you're approving it year after year, then that is the amount.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it still would be that based upon that amount that you're dealing with from the prior year.
Okay.
I mean, with all due respect to the departments having to hold flat in their budgets, and I appreciate the situation that the city was in at that time, and this is $5,800, and it seems like the program benefits the city much more than the actual cost, if that makes sense. If that's, I think we benefit from this program a great deal, and I don't want to downplay the fact that it's only $5,800, but in fact, it is only $5,800. Does the money exist?
I believe so. That's what I'll say, without getting an official declaration, if you will, from Rosie. Yes, there is money in. Actually, there is a pot of money that is for things like this, if I remember correctly, for your decisions, if you will, to be appropriated. So those dollars are available.
The two biggest jumps I see are the consultant from 2,000 to 27.5, and wages up like 11%. Can you discuss those two things?
Consultant increases because we're now down by supporting having a small business development center. Scott Goskowitz, who Jeff mentioned, at our office 4 times a month. And so we need to support that. They're a state and federally funded office, but ask for local support as well to support their efforts. If we weren't supporting them with some funding, they would be in our office 1 day a month. So the value is there. And then also to have our SBEI program manager, Bruce Stack, managing that program and overseeing, you know, that whole effort. It's done as a contractor. The salary increase, I believe the salary line is still less than it was when I joined EDC, the salary line. But now we are supporting, you know, the salaries, you know, myself and our marketing director and our administrative assistant and our community development coordinator. We're adding more people. So we're trying to stretch the dollar and stretch by adding part-time people. But it does, you know, has added up to where we had requested the increase.
So you're not adding any people on. You're just increasing every. Or have you added people on?
People have added. So this
okay.
is the new level.
That's okay. And so the people that you list as contractors in that list are paid out of the consultant line.
Exactly.
And the part time and full time you are paid out of the gross wages line.
Exactly.
Okay.
If I understood correctly, the green light is still funded by the community foundation. So the part of the consultant's fees are paid by the community foundation.
And it's directly to Bill Brown. I call Bill our entrepreneur in essence. And so his participation, his work with our green light clients is specifically through the community foundation, but then Carsis a lot. But then Bruce and Scott are at a consultant.
What if we don't give you the money? What do you cut something out, or where does that where do you get the money from?
Short answer is I don't know.
Okay.
I think for equity purposes, I may need to go back to other communities and say, let's just cut back before we used to be, and just get rid of some of our programming and go back to being a direct current system. And that'd be the painful but probably most appropriate thing to do. I don't believe in having different sized chairs at the table. You know, the same thing when I get together with my counterparts at the regional level, we have a council we get together. The Fort Wayne Allen County Group has the same voting power as I do, even though they're 10 times as big as a community. And so I think that's a very important concept that's got us here as a community with this organization. And I hope it wouldn't come to that, but I think that would be a possibility.
Are we looking for a motion to do this or not do this? Or?
Well, I'm just making sure everyone has a say in the matter because it's, you know, it's your decision as an appropriation. So,
Alan, I guess I have a question. Your overall budget increase is approximately 24%. Is that correct?
Yes.
But you're asking us to do an 8.75% increase?
8.7.
We anticipate this year doing more work with the Wheatley County Economic Commission. That work is more industrial park based, you know, it's outside of our typical activities, so that would be for a separate fee for service. And if we end up doing any kind of work with the Columbia City Redevelopment Commission that's outside of what we already do, we may try to put together a similar arrangement. That's a projection, though, based on the additional the work. We've been asked to do a lot for the Wheatley County Redevelopment Commission the last 2 or 3 years and helping put together rail kind of business park, for instance. I had a lot more hair before we did that project. So that's part of it. We do receive a small amount of utility contributions from partners like CenturyLink and AEP for Cherubusco and others, NIPSCO. So that goes straight to our marketing budget. But for the first time this year, I want to make sure we incorporated those dollars into the overall budget. So for the first time, we're saying only 85% of our budget is actually seeded and funded, whereas in prior years, you know, we didn't really make a strong correlation between those utility dollars and seeded dollars. I say trying to leverage all the sources of money we have to be able to continue our program.
Is the increase you're asking from the other cities the same percentage that you're asking from us?
Exactly the same. So, again, we take our overall seeded funded budget, divide it by population, and that's what we ask for from each of the communities. So, let's say the city is 23.05%, the county's 4.81%. I thought about this a lot. Even, you know, town of Larville, I mean, there's an appropriate percentage there soon.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion that we approve the additional funds requested by the EDC.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you, gentlemen.
Very good. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. Dick, it's so good to see your face in this chamber. I'm sure it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Okay. And you can go if you'd like, or you can stick around for the chicken discussion. It's up to you. Actually, if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is maybe go to department head reports, and then we can have a discussion to let the guys go so they don't have to. Okay. So, Jeff, we'll start with you for department head reports, please.
I had passed out a sheet of paper up there for all of you earlier.
What was on that sheet of paper?
The sheet of paper was regarding animal waste, specifically dog waste. I had asked Dean Haskins, our administrator from the Soil Water Conservation District, to put together an educational piece quarterly for us. This is the first beginning. These are real numbers. This isn't funny. Anyway, we do anticipate putting that in. I guess it is on the web already. It is an educational piece. This one was, I'll say, plagiarized from Bible County. And there's several other counties that are trying to educate the public for responsible disposal of pet waste. Marcia and I are working on the revision to the illicit discharge detection and elimination ordinance, and we should have a first revision to you the first council meeting in May. I'm sure Kelly will report on it, but he and I have been working on answering questions on the sewer project. They're back in town doing restoration, and the paving will take place next week on that, so it'll look a lot different. I guess the only other thing is I'm working with an environmental firm. I'm trying to condense this on a stormwater pollution prevention plan with CNR barrel plating. Honestly, this is no different than what Alan's talking about. Small businesses and partnerships. And That's what it goes back to. And so trying to be responsive to their needs and give them necessary information on that.
Questions of Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Mike?
Last week we flushed all the fire hydrants in the system. It takes right about 4 days to get that done. And we got a few of them to work on. Has to do a little repair work too, but not very much. And then Todd attended a conference down in Columbus for Indiana Rural Water Association. He was down there for 3 days on that. We're fixing a leak at 116 East Ellsworth Street. And we also got one at 407 West Van Buren to take care of this week. And we're trying to keep everything mowed. And then also the plant's running pretty good. There's not really any problems. So that's last week mainly was taking care of the fire hydrants. That's about it.
Questions of Mike?
I appreciate you getting me that information the last meeting about what'll fix the leak cost.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Walt, you want to report on anything? Okay. Terry says no either. Kelly, no, just Terry, go ahead.
James Wagner passed his IDEX test last month, so he's passed his certification for the next 2 years, and we're happy about that. And his training's going along very well. We worked with Scott Jones on the virtualized 911 server, put in new servers last week, and so we had to change how our computers access the servers. We were able to get that done without too many troubles. Working with Chris LaRue, trying to finish up the mobile inspections. They're going to do mobile inspections on iPad when he starts out doing inspections into businesses. It's tied into that firehouse computer they have here in the fire station. And the city IDs are done except for about three departments. Had a machine break last week and got the part back in today, so we were able to get back up and running. It's about 10 years old, so we're hoping to make it through this session of getting these IDs done before it's no longer usable.
Would you all like IDs? The Board of Works will be getting them, so I didn't know if the council would like them.
Do we need them?
Actually, it's probably not a bad idea, but I mean, it's just something else you need to carry around, but it's probably not a bad idea because not everybody knows who we are, and if we do come up with a situation we need to be out, it's probably not a... Probably a good idea to at least have some kind of visual.
You're out sandbagging like Dan has been out.
Okay.
I haven't had the pleasure yet. Okay. Very good. Any questions of Terry? Do you have anything else? Okay. Thanks, Terry. Kelly?
We've had a couple companies offer some training on operation and maintenance of our jet machine and our sweeper. Probably be sending some guys the next couple months. I think there's training next month, and then in June there's another training session on that we'll be going to. Wanted to thank Troy for coming down to the cemetery and changing lots. We're continuing to have vandalism issues down there in the restroom, so we're going to keep those locked up through the day unless there's service going on or for the mowing crew to use. We've graded all the alleys or all the berms around town. Took a couple, two or three days to do that. We dug up and replaced three catch basins around the city. And the sewer material showed up out of the City Ford project. And widens are scheduled probably to start on that maybe next week, they said. So it's really all I have at this time.
Questions of Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. Tim.
Starting tomorrow, our department goes through our first firearms qualifications for the year. It's actually a new course that we're going to start. It's the same course that that they use during the law enforcement academy. So we're going to start that tomorrow. It runs for 4 days, and officers have a two-hour block to go to the range and get that done. Today we had a command staff meeting and just talked about kind of measured where we are, the goals we're working towards, and I feel like we're doing a good job and we're making some positive progress. Tomorrow I'll be out of the office with the mayor going to some training on tornadoes. So we'll be in Butlerville tomorrow for that. And Thursday we have a group of officers that's going to be playing family feud against the city fire department at the Senior Citizen Center, so that will be, I'm sure, entertaining. Detective Stevenson and Captain Hiley have been working with the Domestic Violence Task Force here in Whitley County, and working on getting a program together to kind of talk with high school males about responsive behavior and accountability, things like that. So they're working with that entity, trying to get that program started. That's all I've got.
Questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Mike?
My staff have worked on servicing and inspecting our circulation pump for our digester. They took those, inspected them, cleaned them, and everything like that, and they're still in excellent operating condition. Installed out at Morris Park, we have a chemical tanks out there, two 1,500-gallon tanks for odor control and corrosion control on that line, since it's such a long distance from there to the treatment facility. And in past, that when we have a semi-tanker come in and fill those tanks, you guys have to stand there and hold the hose. We fabricated a fill system on the bottom of that tank so that we can just hook the hose in for safety features so you don't have to hang on to it. The only thing that it would really affect is the chemical itself does not like leather. Other than that, you can have it on your hands, but it just it doesn't like leather. But still, we decided to build a fill line for that, so that's been installed, and we'll be trying that out here probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks. I'll get that chemical order and get that in place. They've also pulled and cleaned and inspected the loadout pump and the mixers in the sludge storage tank. Those are all in good condition, and they've been reinstalled. When they were inspecting the loadout pump, it was missing the inspection plate on it, and we're not sure where it went, whether it's still in the tank or we pumped it out and sent it away somewhere. But they thought about it and looked at it, and they fabricated a new one in-house instead of buying the replacement. They fabricated their own and installed that, and it worked out great. So that's back in service. I've also decanted water off the tank, and a big thanks to Kelly. He removed a large pile of stone and asphalt and millings that was all mixed together off our property and disposed of those. So we have that back, and we'll turn that back into lawn later this year or next spring. And I have one employee that will be taking a state certification exam on Thursday, and just want to wish him luck, and hopefully he passes. And if he passes, then I will have all my staff will be certified operators then. That's all I have.
Do you want to touch on the building thing that we just approved at Board of Works?
Yes, concrete? That we talked about last night when we were on the tour, that the Board of Works did approve that to fill that in. So we'll be doing that later on this year. And like we talked about last night, it's going to really increase our floor space and storage for, you know, not a whole lot of money. So I was very pleased with that.
Great. Questions of Mike?
I just want to thank you for taking the time to show us around.
No problem with that.
Same here. I actually know some of the things you're talking about. I had no idea before what you're talking about.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Gentlemen, if you don't have anything left on the agenda, you are dismissed. Thank you. Okay. Let's have a discussion about chickens. At the last council meeting, we had Robin Larman come in and make a presentation about maybe changing the ordinance to allow chicken hens within the city limits. In talking with some of you over the last maybe week and a half, you've gotten comments and feedback from different individuals, different constituents. So I decided to put it back on the agenda to have another discussion about that. The Animal Ordinance Committee has not met yet, so it's so there's no official decision one way or another, but I know that some of you have heard feedback, so I wanted to provide you an opportunity to talk about that. So what have you been hearing from your constituents about it, besides laughter?
Well, I know I've gotten a number of phone calls and just comments, you know, couple pro, more against. I think seems to be the issue that I see after hearing the comments is, you know, how is it going to be regulated? Who's going to regulate it? Who's going to be in charge of, you know, when there is a situation that has to be taken care of? You know, and here we are adding more stuff, so to speak, to probably the responsibility of the police department. And people are very adamant, pro or con. I mean, it's just not, they don't come up and say, hey, Dan, you know, I don't know if that's a good idea. No, they start yelling at you. either way, it's like, wow, you know, it's a, would you just say, you know, it's interesting how strongly opinionated people are on this issue. But, you know, the issue is that what is brought up is other issues, as the smell of dog waste. I've heard more of that now than I ever had before. You know, what are people, here's the paper that Jeff gave us earlier about, you know, people not taking care of their dog waste the way they probably should. You know, so that brings up the people that, if they do have chickens, the ones that are responsible for chickens and the ones that aren't. So are we creating another issue that we're going to have to address? I don't know. People aren't responsible enough with their animal dogs. Are they going to be responsible with their chickens? Certain people are, certain people aren't. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. Some people will maintain their chickens appropriately, and some people will not adhere to the ordinance, or we're just going to have more issues. I don't know. I do have some concerns as well. I think Nicole's did some research.
I just looked up some stuff, and I feel like if it would get passed, I don't think we should just say, sure, you can have hens in town and not. I mean, I think, like other communities, they have, there's registration, and you pay fees, annual fees. Hmm. There's,
a chicken tax?
Yeah, chicken tax. there's requirements for the coops. There's requirements like how far it can be from other people's property lines. Like, in order to have the chickens, you have to get permission from your neighbors, basically. You know, stuff like that. It just seems like if we do it, we can't just say, sure, you can have chickens. I think there has to be a lot of regulation with it.
I've heard a lot of negative. I've not heard anything positive. And I've had several phone calls. But I think a lot of it is the amount of regulation that would have to be imposed on them. And again, going back to the police department, who's going to enforce that regulation? And, you know, we're all about decreased regulation as much as possible. So if some way we could avoid all that regulation, I've not heard anything positive.
And I know Ben brought in some pictures of these really pretty coops, and if everybody would do those, and, you know, it might be different. But then, you know, looking online at some people that build their coops, and it's like, throw up a couple pieces of board and put some chicken wire around it, and, you know.
Well, I think it also, if you have, one of the things they have to consider is the amount of space that the chickens would require. You know, some of the yards that I've looked at that people want to have chickens don't have, honestly, I don't see where they have enough space to have it for chickens. I'm not a big chicken farmer by any means. I know I hold enough of that stuff to know a little bit about chickens, but I'm just looking at some of this, and I'm like, oh, I'm not so sure.
I think that would be the first thing is, if we pass it, we'd have to say, you have to have a yard that's this big. Mm-hmm. You can't have it in a little, you know. But I think it's a lot of regulations, what I'm saying.
Which grades? More problems. Does the problems outweigh the benefit?
If I could add some things, I've spoken with other mayors in the northeastern part of the state. The only one that I've been able to find that they allow chickens within the city limits is New Haven. and they allow them under very strict regulation. I've spoken with an individual from the Alliance of Realtors around here about property values, about what that would do property value-wise. She believes it would bring down property values, not a significant amount, but it would in some way, shape, or form. And then I think probably the most interesting issue, as I was reading through the minutes for last council meeting, Mrs. Larman had spoke about how the poo would dissipate with rain, which got me thinking, uh-oh, stormwater, because chicken poo is different than dog poo. Dog tends to be solid, chicken's not so much. So I got thinking about that, and I talked to Jeff about it, and he actually emailed IDEM just to find out what kind of regulations they have there, and they had some concerns in regards to the waste. It would have to be picked up in the same manner as dogs, and obviously it's a little difficult. They had some concerns about the runoff from the groundwater into stormwater catch basins and ultimately into the rivers untreated. Now, the response to that or the rebuttal to that would be, well, birds poop everywhere, and so it's not an issue. The difference being that birds are wild, and we're regulating chickens in that way. So another piece to add to the puzzle, if you will. Just some things to think about and consider, I just wanted to give you guys some additional time to comment, because like I said, I've talked to a couple of you. I know some of you have heard positive comments, some of you have heard negative comments, so I just wanted to, coming from the last meeting, I wanted to bring some of those to light. So
are you still saying you should go back to the
committee? I'm not saying one way or another, because it would be an ordinance issue, so it would land on your guys' lap. I just if you would not want it to become an ordinance, or you would not want to allow that, then you would recommend back to the Animal Ordinance Committee that you would not like it to be an ordinance. If you would like to continue with additional regulations, then you would do in the same manner. So
if we don't allow them, are we going to require the people that have them get rid of them?
We shouldn't have.
There are chickens in town.
There are chickens in town. Okay. Well, then that would be an ordinance violation that we would need to take care of because of the current ordinance that we have in place. So
I don't know whose they are, but I've seen them along Lincoln Way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it was out by the road by where the 4-H ground kind of goes up at an angle.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from, but there was a white one mm-hmm. out there the other day.
Okay. So, I guess it does, going from Jackie then, it does beg the question, what is your feeling on it now, a week later, 2 weeks later, after our last initial meeting?
I would like to recommend that it does not go to committee.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That it does not go back to the committee.
I would have to agree at this point. I just think that the amount of work that it's going to take to enforce an ordinance is all, I mean, we're already taking on enough issues, and it's not against the people that would actually do a good job of taking care of the animals. It's the ones that are not going to take care of, like we already have situations with dogs and cats, and now you know that those people are not being responsible for those in some cases, and so now we're going to add chickens to the equation, and it's bad to penalize the people that would be responsible, but at the same time I'm having a little bit of a problem with the number of calls that I've gotten as well. It's a high number against versus pro at this point.
Okay. Bill, Ben, Nicole, feelings?
I only got one call on it at all, and it was from Nicole's district and somebody that knew me. They were positive on it. I didn't get any negative calls on it. I think the poo issue to me is a lot to do about nothing. If we're generating a ton of dog poo, it's not, I mean, I just, it's inconceivable to me that we would generate even a fraction of that in chicken poo.
I would agree with you.
With all due respect to her saying that it's dissipation of the water, the groundwater, that's inconsistent with the way people raise chickens in the first place. That stuff is usually composted and then put back in the ground as a fertilizer. I'm just not seeing that as a huge pollutant issue. But
I'm merely giving facts, Bill. I'm merely telling you what I've been told.
I understand, but I just that's the poo issue to me is, as far as it being regulated by the police, frankly, we deal with a lot of issues that would be considered outside the realm of law enforcement generally anyway. I would imagine we deal with much more cat issues than we would ever deal with chicken issues. There were chickens running down Lincoln Way, and unless I'm mistaken, I don't think we got any great calls on the loose chickens running down the road. I don't see it being a great burden to law enforcement any more than, you know, any other ordinances. However, I appreciate the fact that people wouldn't want, you know, those things, birds living next to them. I get that. I understand that. But I guess I am more of a neutral position on the whole thing, as far as I'm not adamantly for it, but I don't think we're going to generate a ton of chick poo.
Okay.
I mean, I was born and raised in the country. I grew up with chickens. I've raised chickens, but I really think there's a time and place for everything, and I moved to town for a reason.
and I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, my neighbors had them at one time, and I called, and they were removed. So, you know, it's, I just think that there's a time and place for everything, and I'm not sure chickens belong in town.
Ben, Nicole, you have strong feelings one way or another?
I don't have any real strong feelings either way on it. I think it would have to be highly regulated, and you're going to have the people that...
You're going to break it the same way they break dog and cat ordinances.
Or any other law.
Any other ordinance, yeah. That's a good point.
Nicole? I think we should just let it die and leave the ordinance as it is.
Okay. Well, then I've heard three votes, basically, or three voices out of the five saying no to chicken ordinance. So I guess the recommendation back to the Animal Ordinance Committee would be that chickens are not allowed in the city limits. I will then go ahead and write up a letter of some sort to Mrs. Larman and thank her for her consideration and the information she brought, and just let her know kind of what this discussion entailed. And if that's okay with the council, I can just go ahead and do that. Would you like to see it before I send it, or just I can just do it? Okay. Very good.
Do you even need to meet on the first then?
Well, there's still a lot of other issues. That chicken issue was not the issue that you guys were going to discuss on animal ordinance.
Yeah,
it was just
the other.
Yeah.
Chicken down.
Okay. The other issue is the Department of Transportation, Lincoln Way and 30 intersection that we had talked about. I drafted up a letter. Bill took a look at it. I got good responses from everyone except Dan. And yours wasn't bad, but you had a question about it. And your question was about adding additional detail to the accident information. And I think as I worked with Bill and I worked with Tim on that, they both told me that basically NDOT can go in and they can look at any accident about anything and
right, they can pull up
as much information.
The accidents on any intersection in the state.
They can do that.
Well, I guess my concern with that was, how are the accidents? I mean, are people running red lights?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it seems to be the problem is somebody doesn't know. They're not sure when to turn left or both. They run into each other.
That's the whole point, is for those engineers to take a look at the intersection and take a look at the data that they have, find out why it is the way that it is, and see if there's a way to make it better.
Okay, I guess I just didn't know if it needed to be better explained so they know what to look for.
The state would have access to the
accident
contributing factors to those accidents at the intersection. They'd be able to see the officer's report, which tells exactly what happened and what the factors were involved in that crash. So they can see all that too.
Okay.
And I just in looking at, you know, putting this letter together, we talked about you suggested that the office should consider studying the intersection. Options to be considered should include changing how Lincoln Way approaches US 30 on either side of the highway. If you want to change that, we can do that. If not, the letter is ready for you to sign and we can send it out tomorrow. So,
I guess if they have access to that data and knowing why we're making the concern, I'm okay with the letter. I wasn't sure, you know, how explicit we had to be.
They're engineers. The way I understand it, their engineers will pull that data along with a lot of other data from US 30 and determine if they think there's an issue first. And then if they think there's an issue, then trying to determine what's causing the issue. And they have, like the chief said, they have all that data available to them, the same as, actually, and much easier than we do to get it.
Okay, well then the letter is coming down for you to sign. Couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention very quickly, and then we need to decide on a date for a council meeting. Number one, Park Board will be sending you a letter. Marsha and I will be working on an ordinance for you guys, but there will be a suggestion letter, if you will, from the Park Board for you to consider selling three pieces of park property to the landowners that are nearby. North Street Garden, which is at the corner of Line and North Street. Mayor's Park, which is in Columbia Shores, as well as Langlo Park, which is also in Columbia Shores. These are three parks that are not used very heavily. We have had interest in at least one of those properties, and the Park Board believes that there is a lot of maintenance and time and energy and mowing and gas and all that kind of stuff that goes into those three parks, and they feel like it would be more beneficial to focus on the parks that are being used more frequently. And so that letter will be coming probably in the next month or two. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Second thing is Tree Board will also be sending you a letter for an ordinance change. In the current... wow, Terry, you're a trooper. You know that? Yeah, I know. I know. But the tree board, actually the ordinance in regards to street trees, the street tree director is, in that ordinance, is described as the community development director. Now, the community development director position did not exist, has not existed for a while until we changed Jeff's title. What the tree board will be recommending, among some other minute changes, is to change that street tree director to the tree board president rather than it being the community development director. So, minor changes, but they will have to take ordinance changes. So I just want to give you the heads up on that. Okay? Okay, let's talk about council meeting dates. From the information that the only person I didn't hear back from was Ben, so I don't know what you're thinking, but I have 10th for Rosie, 10th for Nicole, 10th for Jackie, and 10th for Dan. available. Marcia, you're the only one that couldn't do the 10th for a council meeting, according to this list.
Okay.
So,
look at that again. Is that?
That would be a Thursday. That would be the Thursday after when we're regularly scheduled for that council meeting. My suggestion would be that we would.
Well, I'm okay on the 10th, Mayor.
Oh, you are?
No, it was my preference.
Oh, preference. Yeah, okay, I apologize. Yeah, I didn't mean to mischaracterize. Yep. Yes. Ben?
I'm good on the 10th.
Good on the 10th. Okay, so can we make it for May 10th, which is a Thursday, at 7 p.m.? Bill?
Well, there's really
no. Oh, I apologize. I did not hear back from you.
There's no way around that. There might be. My schedule may change.
Okay.
And because that's coming up so soon,
yeah,
that it would not give me enough time to request time off
and
get
okay.
back. So I may have to miss that one.
Okay.
If the things go that particular way.
Okay.
And the only way I would miss is if I had to have a reschedule.
Reschedule the softball. Yep. Okay. So then I will pin in May 10th at 7 p.m., and we will do the proper advertising as such. There any? I don't want to keep you any longer, but are there any other issues that you'd like to discuss, Marcia?
Well, Sally had asked about the bond ordinance tonight, and
okay.
whether that, because I did not know about this, whether that might be needed to be an emergency final reading, because no further action can be taken until that is finalized. I have been trying to get a hold of Buzz Crown. I couldn't reach him, but you did reach Rosie, so yeah. I'll let you go take it from there.
And Rosie said you can wait if you want, but the IURC is waiting
for us
to approve that, and they won't go any further on finalizing the rates until this is approved. So
the question then is, would you like to wait 2 weeks and go through that again, or would you like to amend the, I guess, the passing of the ordinance to be for, you know, on an emergency basis?
I would have to retract my motion. I'm going to make a new motion as to suspend
the rules and pass on an emergency.
Yeah, suspend the rules and pass an emergency on an emergency basis to approve this first and final meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, so we've had a retraction of the initial motion, and then Dan has motioned and Nicole has seconded to pass Ordinance number 2012-6 on emergency basis on one reading alone. Okay, we've had motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. It passes on emergency, and we will get moving on the IURC and Columbia City negotiations. Okay.
Do we need to sign that?
We will have to sign the ordinance, yes. Although I don't know if we actually...
Just Council President and Mayor.
Okay. There we go. So Dan and I will take care of that. Additional things, Sally?
No.
Marcia?
No.
Jackie?
No.
Dan?
Anybody available May 5th to come down to the Ball Diamonds? It's going to be incredible. Opening day ceremonies. It's going to be really neat.
Yeah.
Well, probably 500 to 600 kids, and Lord knows how many grandmas and grandpas.
and
it'll be really cool.
To jump on that, the park board met last night and decided to approve two nights of the week for the Burnworth Pool to be open till 8 p.m. to try some night hours again. And they also have changed the actual park time, the time the park office is open. It used to be 7 to 3:30. It is now 8 to 4:30. So, trying to be more customer friendly, and because they have the staff now with Andrea joining the group, that's going to be good. The maintenance will continue to go from 7 to 3:30 because obviously the heat in the summer and so on and so forth. Okay.
Two questions.
Yes.
Redevelopment still going to be on the 8th?
Martha was trying to get a hold of Carl and has had difficulty with that. So, to be determined. Okay. Now, I know that you guys had scheduled basically a special session on doing
stuff. I said something to Dale Stafford about it this morning, and he said that hadn't been confirmed. So.
Okay. Okay, well, I didn't know that, but...
The date has been confirmed.
Yeah, I don't think that would be as much of an issue in redevelopment as it is for this, because there's not department heads that are there. Mm-hmm. And I could probably take Martha's spot, but we can figure something out. So we hope to have an answer to you soon, but we're kind of being held up.
Okay.
So, and then second question.
The park, if they sell those lots or those parks, what is our intention of that money, or is... That hasn't been discussed.
What they will be suggesting, as per state statute, is that those dollars will go back into the parks that they still have and the beautification of them. So basically, go back into the park fund, if you will.
So it could be used to go towards fixing the pool, or would that not?
That would be up to the park board.
Right, but I mean,
yes,
but that's
it could.
That's a possibility.
That is a possibility. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's all.
Okay, thanks, Ben. Nicole?
Right.
Bill? No, okay, very good. I don't think I have anything else, so thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good session tonight.